Okay, so the real thing that I want to tell you about today is I'm closing in on a system. So I read that book that I keep telling you about, that E. Myth Revisited book, and I'm sort of refusing to read other books. I'm chomping at the bit. I started another one, but I'm like, this is my new attitude towards reading and consuming content. Unless it's like podcast-y, kind of just throw it in your ears. And okay, there's two kinds of content, of motivational or instructional, business, tech, whatever. There's two kinds of that kind of content. There's, and it's really in the way you consume it. It's not in the content itself. And this might go for pretty much all content. There's two ways to consume content. There's just one ear out the other, and the brain in the middle, you know, as the audio or the text, you know, the pages flow from your eyes, from one eye to the other, one ear out the other, whatever. As the information flows through you, you pick up little bits here and there, little bits stick, you know, to the flypaper in your head. And, you know, maybe it also kind of trains some of the AI that is your brain and like morph some of those neurological pathways a little bit. And that is good. That sort of passive consumption that I do all the time. It's when I'm listening to a podcast at the gym, in the car. It's when I'm reading a book, a self-help book, a business book, motivational book, watching motivational, instructional. And it doesn't even have to be like, it's not like Tony Robbins I'm talking about. I'm talking about like, you know, random YouTubers, and even like a woodworking YouTube episode has a way of inspiring me in some way, or, you know, whatever, or documentary, something like that. So there's passive consumption and then there's active consumption. That's what I'm trying to say. There's passive consumption, there's active consumption. Most of my consumption is passive, pretty much all of it. And what do I define as active consumption? Well, it's really writing about it, and it's consuming it in a way where I'm taking notes and writing about it, like a book report that I talked to you about, and then actually acting on it. And you can't consider it actively consumed unless you've done something active with it. That's the thing, you know? So this E. Myth Revisited book, I was determined to actively consume it and not let it be just another book that goes through my head. I pick up a few tidbits and that's that. And then it's just, oh yeah, I read that book. You know, how did it influence my life? Maybe subtly. I had some knowledge bite that I took from it that informs my life in a small way every once in a while. But could I point to, you know, a funny example of this is Atomic Habits. People rave about it, but I didn't get that much value out of it. And I've read the books like How to Win Friends and Influence People and Influence, that other book, and like The Creative Act. I just like all these books that I've read, and it's like, man, how did they impact me? Even Don't Make Me Think, which I regard as one of the best books on my bookshelf. And what have I done with it? Not a lot. It goes in one ear and out the other. I could tell you what the books are about and the lessons in the book for the most part, but I can't point to how it changed my life, you know? But I think if you consume something actively, as defined as, you know, having some action that's derived from the work itself, that's intentional, then it will change your life. So this E. Myth Revisited, I'm determined to let it change my life. And how do you do that? Well, the first thing is I took diligent notes as I read the entire book, which was cool. And it made the book go by faster or easier in a way. It wasn't, you know, a lot of like book reading for me is you start off strong because it's easy in the beginning. And then the books get into the long drawn out anecdotes, or it just feels like where they stretch that content. And then I start to peter out. I'm like, I got the gist of this. I'm kind of done. You know, you're spreading things out too far. And if you're not walking down a bunch of paths in your book, then yeah, it's like, it's either there's just too much, you're taking me in too many places, or it's like, man, this could have been a blog post. You're just stretching this point. Like, enough with the anecdotes. But taking notes kind of forced me to evaluate, to kind of unearth the structure behind the book. Very similar to actively listening to music, which, again, I don't do very often. But if you like I've done when I'm like producing music and I need to listen to music for reference, you know, and you start to dissect a song and you like, okay, here's the chord progression. Here's the time signature. Here's, you know, the lyrical content, the lyrical structure, the verses and choruses and here's the recording style. There's, you know, it's pretty much just organic sounds, or it's, you know, the really bassy or thin or spatial or whatever, you know, all these qualities that you just listen to a song, you don't think anything of it. But when you actively listen to it, you start to unearth what's underneath it. And when you do that, it helps you, it gives you more language for listening, and which helps you make music. And so it's similar with books that I've found. It's like by doing that, I kind of unearth the structure of the book, the narrative that is there, when it's basically reverse engineering a book back to the author's outline. That's what you're doing. It's like, and it, couldn't you have just given me the outline? And yeah, maybe, but when you consume it in the long form, it really cements itself, and there's a lot of juice there. You know, when you just have an outline, there's no juice. When it's like thick and full, then it's juicy. You get all those anecdotes and those quotes, quotable quotes, and the extra angles that they approach the single point that hammers it home. So taking notes kind of forces its active reading so that I can unearth the structure and the intent and the points and the takeaways, and it helps me read. But the part that this book, this E-Myth Revisited, I'm like refusing to go any further. I'm refusing to read any more content or to actively consume anything else until I've acted on this, you know? And I have somewhat, but there's still parts of it. I didn't act on it fully. If I take this book at face value and listen to it and say, like, what are the lessons that they're trying to teach me? It's build systems for your business and serve those systems, basically, is like the best summary that I can, the best way I can summarize this book. And whatever you're doing, and it's like, you're the be a business, not a person working for themselves, you know? So those types, I'm trying to do that. And I've done a ton just from this, since I've formed an LLC. I mean, that's like not because of the book, but whatever. It's all kind of coming along at the same time. Opened a business bank account. I'm changing things. I'm considering changing my email broadcast to be sent from a LiveWire domain, not from my personal domain. It's basically abstract. Think about, even if I'm never going to sell LiveWire, think about it as a sellable thing. Make it something that somebody would want to buy. And how do you do that? By, well, not having it tied to your person, and creating systems that you serve rather than just doing shit. So I have taken a lot away and done a lot of things, but so the first big thing I did is the morning chores. It's like, okay, I need a system for pull request. That's, oh my gosh, systems. Let's call this episode a wrap. I'm going to wrap this up because we'll start a new episode and talk about systems. This is going to be active versus passive consumption. I'm just going to end it now, and I'll see you in the next episode.